You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Talk. Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
All right, so obviously all eyes now are on what action President Cyril Ramaphosa is going to take and what Lindiwe Sisulu is going to do. She tweeted yesterday that she has taken note of what the acting Chief Justice Raymond Zondo said, and she is going to respond at the appropriate time. She also indicated that she's in consultation with her lawyers. I don't know about what, really. But that's what she tweeted yesterday. So I wanted to also hear from political parties as to what their positions are and what are they going to do next. And then I'm going to continue with your calls. Keep calling on 011-883-0702. Let me quickly speak to John Steenhuisen, who is the leader of the Democratic Alliance. John, thanks for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to the listeners. Great to be with you this morning.
What would you like to see the president do, given these latest developments?
Well, the president needs to instruct Ms. Sisulu to retract and apologize. She is a member of his cabinet and a member of an arm of state. Arms of state should be supportive of each other's functions in the spirit of cooperation. They shouldn't interfere unnecessarily with the functioning of each other's particular duties and responsibilities. I think it was highly irresponsible. The big question you've got to ask is, has Ms. Sisulu raised these issues in cabinet before she's gone out publicly and denigrated and insulted members of the judiciary and the judicial arm of state? Were these raised in cabinet? If so, what has been the response of cabinet? Or has she just simply gone out and done these? The president needs to show that he is actually in charge of his cabinet. He appoints ministers. He also disappoints ministers. And so I think that it's very, very important that he doesn't just stay quiet on this matter, that he comes out and defends the independence of the judiciary and the integrity of the judiciary. It's also for this reason, and Ms. Sisulu is both a member of two other spheres. She's a member of the legislative sphere, but also a member of the executive sphere. And attacking the judiciary has brought both those spheres now into disrepute. So Executive Ethics Act has been violated. The Code of Ethical Conduct for members of parliament has been violated. It's also in the rules of parliament that even during a debate, you cannot cast aspersions on judicial officers. And it's precisely done so that there is a respect between the different spheres of government.
And tell me why that is so important, John, because, I mean, part of the thing you say in your statement yesterday is that this attack struck at the heart of our constitutional democracy. And we often see people cast these aspersions. Why is it wrong to create a perception that members of the bench cannot be trusted? What are the consequences?
Because our entire constitution and our democracy is based on a fundamental principle of the rule of law. The courts, if you read the constitution, are entrusted with enforcing the rule of law, but also ministers and members of parliament swear an oath to uphold the constitution and all law of the republic and to discharge their duties in a way that engenders confidence by the people of South Africa in the institutions of state. When you have one arm of the state essentially casting aspersions on another arm of state, particularly that responsible for enforcing the rule of law in South Africa, you start to unpick the tapestry of the South African concepts of rule of law, respect for the constitution and the outcomes. That's why we don't always win cases, but the practices that you accept the findings because we accept that we are in a rules-based society, and that is the outcome of an independent judicial process. And once that starts to be undermined, you can really unpick the entire notion of the rule of law in South Africa.
And I would say, John, that we, as political parties, we must also be consistent in how we also raise these issues. Whether you're a member of cabinet, you're a member of parliament, you're a leader of a political party, because whether you are, with whatever influence you have, when you cast aspersions on the judiciary, that erodes the confidence that people have in the judiciary. And I would argue even that even your colleague Helen Ziller once claimed that, well, the judiciary is busy, the justices in the Constitutional Court are leaking information to ANC members. And that statement was reckless. It was irresponsible. You can't use that to cast aspersions on the Apex Court, and you don't even have, it's on the basis of speculation. So Lindiwe Sisulu, and you're right to call him out, but we must be consistent in that even when your members of the party are doing this, they must be called out.
There's a very big difference, Clement, between a private citizen, which Mrs. Zilla is. She is not a public office bearer. She's not sworn an oath to uphold an oath of office in terms of the Constitution. She's a private citizen, and as a private citizen, you're entitled to freedom of speech. The point I'm making about Mrs. Sulu's comments and why they are so egregious and reckless, as opposed to the example you're using, is that she is a member of the executive and she is a member of the legislative branch of South Africa. She serves in those public capacities in which trust has been placed in her and which she's upheld an oath of office to implement. Private citizens are entitled to freedom of speech and they're entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, but it doesn't make their actions right. It doesn't make that. And the point, I agree with you. I agree with you.
The point I'm making is that you cannot discipline private citizens for holding an opinion.
But you as the leader of the party, you can discipline your member of the party who is holding a leadership position, who's got influence, who also continues in the guise of I'm a private citizen, continues to make remarks that cast aspersions on the Constitution and the judiciary.
That is her right to do so, as it is your right as a private citizen to do so. And I don't think anyone should be encroaching on any private citizen's right to freedom of speech in South Africa. It's a right that's entrenched in the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. But when public office bearers take that oath of office on the floor of the legislature and before the judiciary, they are expected to have an extra duty of care to ensure that they do not encroach on it. So the rules of the National Assembly, the Code of Conduct for Members of Parliament and the Code of Conduct for the Executive are very clear about the types of standards of behavior that are required of those office bearers. Those are not extended to members of the public who are not public office bearers and are private citizens and entitled to their own opinion.
Now, John Steenhuisen, dear leader, thank you so much for making time. We don't have enough time with John, so I want to bring in Veronica Mente before I go back to your calls, who's the national chairperson for the Economic Freedom Front. Freedom fighters, right? They wrote Freedom Front here. Apologies, Veronica. Thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you for having us. And good morning to the viewers.
You guys released a statement yesterday after that briefing from the acting Chief Justice. What's your position as the EFF?
Clement, I want to put a context into this thing. There is a picture which usually circulates a lot of matchsticks. There are about 10 of them. And the one in the middle is taken backwards. Then the front sticks will be bent. The one in the middle, which is reversed, then it stops the bending from going into the entire 10 matchsticks. So when one person, out of self-introspection, finds it suitable for her or him to speak out on the cruelty, on the governance that is wrong in their own country, mm-hmm. on everything else that is impoverishing our people. Since 1994, the question is, are we free? Did we get what we were told we are free for? So that particular opinion seeks to do such thing of, I self-introspected, I'm part of the problem, and therefore I'm trying to diagnose. While the public is allowed to receive that diagnosis and critique in various ways, now the problem becomes when an institution of democracy gets involved. Now there's a second aspect of this context, is that what's the time and space now? The timing now is what we are seeing as a chaos and the fighting of the ANC factions going to conference. And knowing the political fights that are taking place right now between the comrades of the ANC and who's who, you cannot then have a judiciary that gets involved in that time and space.
Yeah. What do you, so isn't the difference here that there's criticism and there's an attack? And in this case, yes, Lindiwe Sisulu criticizes the constitution, but then she attacks the judiciary because she even insinuates that the black judges were house Negroes whose interpretation of the law had no African or Pan-African ideological grounding. So yes, you can criticize the judiciary, you can criticize the constitution, but she crossed the line in now even insinuating that these judges are colonized and they're behaving as house Negroes.
These sentiments that you are saying now, sentiments that are shared in an opinion piece, are not new sentiments. They have been said by many other people in South Africa. As you were interviewing John, you mentioned one that was said by Helen Zille. Many people have sentiments that are attacking the judiciary. And we attack the judiciary on the basis that we cannot find a judiciary that has eyes, that has ears. The judiciary that portrays itself in a manner in which suggests that if you are Clement coming to me, I must first intimidate you, make you know your place, and when you come to me, you must come to me in a conformed manner in which you hear what I say to you. So this kind of an environment we are in politics is not an environment that when it's this side which is favored by certain cabal of the ANC or the certain cabal of the ruling party, which has power over everything in this country. And then you find a judiciary that now calls a press conference to deal with the sentiments of an individual within themselves and within the certain cabal, which is deemed to be a cabal against that one. Remember that this opinion piece follows the what Lindiwe Sisulu did of putting her name, the kind of I'm free to contest a certain position in my political party. And then no one saw that she will now use another tool in ensuring that she is intensifying her campaign. But we cannot have a judiciary that now pretends to be dealing with an element in an opinion piece which seeks to intensify a political campaign of her own right. She has a right into contest. She has a right to stand for any other office within her party and everything else. And we don't care about that. Our problem is we cannot have a judiciary. So whenever Zondo calls anything, he calls it on behalf of the judiciary. He speaks for the judiciary. Yeah. He is the head of the judiciary.
Yeah. And
so we cannot have a judiciary that calls a press conference. It has never been done to deal with the sentiment on an opinion piece. You can even have someone else to have another opinion piece that challenges the views that are...
Yeah. Well, his argument was that this is the worst insult ever. And I mean, also they are independent too, and they can decide to call that briefing. I want to ask you quickly what you meant in your statement that you released yesterday. And you said, if we are to follow Zondo's logic, our call for land expropriation without compensation is an insult. This is because our call is premised on the failures of the judiciary to enhance land reform because it entrenches land rights which are based on theft. I would argue it's not necessarily the judiciary's responsibility to enhance land reform.
It certainly is. Remember that for the law to be changed, we have the executive that can make that call.
Yes.
We have parliament that can make that call. We even have the constitutional court that can bring the law back to parliament to say this particular law no longer serves its purpose within the democratic
system. Yeah, and that failure must be led to the executive, not the judiciary. That's the responsibility of the executive.
That failure is the failure of all the apartheid laws that were not repealed. which the Constitutional Court also has a say in it, in saying this particular law no longer serves the right. We deal with so many laws in Parliament which the Constitutional Court sent back to us to say this particular law can no longer be utilized. So there are laws of apartheid that we can use. And in fact, with that argument, when I claimant, many people have been saying apartheid, certain apartheid laws, as the EFF, we called for the repeal of all the laws of apartheid in Parliament. Even this morning, we were asking a comprehensive report of that. And the judiciary never came out to attack the EFF to say, why are you calling on us that we are incompetent? You are insulting us to say, but all this time we did not see that these apartheid laws no longer work.
All right, Veronica Mente. Ooh, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for making time. Veronica Mente is the chairperson of the EFF.